Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Corey Koski, did you like playing in this heat when it got this warm? Did you enjoy that?
No.
Too hot?
Absolutely not. I remember back in Kansas City when it got this warm, the turf was so hot we'd have a cold ice bath so we can stick our feet in between innings to keep our feet from melting against the turf. Yeah, it was hot.
It was that hot, and you just put them in a cold bucket of ice water and dip it in quick and then go play. Nope. Especially if you played like third base, huh?
Yeah, well, no, we didn't dip it in quick. I'd sit a couple innings with my feet kind of in this bucket.
With your shoes on or off?
Yeah, well, his shoes on.
I was going to say, if you had to hit, you'd got to be careful. That'd be in Kansas City is as hot as it gets, isn't it, in the American League, in Texas?
Yeah, Kansas City and St. Louis were hot ones on that turf. And you know, it's kind of interesting. After you take off your shoes, you got those soaking kind of really old man feet that's all wrinkled and all over that. It was nasty.
You know, the Twins can't quite get it right now. They win a couple, they lose a couple. On paper, they should be pretty good. It hasn't really played out. You play on teams like that where you go, I look at the lineup and we should be in first place and it just doesn't happen.
At the end of the day, to me, obviously the game has changed somewhat. At times it's tough for me to watch. You build a team on pitching and defense, and there's, things that don't change, and it's the consistent in the game, and it's pitching, because it's a lot easier to score, win games 2-0 and, 3-2 than trying to win games 8-6, 9-7, and, or when you have a lead late in the game and, you're hoping that you can just put the game away. Have to come back late in the game and like, oh gosh, I thought we had this game and now all of a sudden we got to score two more runs to win it.
Well, part of that, what's the mindset of a hitter and defensive player, third baseman, whatever it is, when you feel like you have a lockdown bullpen versus you feel like, oh boy, what's going to happen tonight?
Well, the difference between, if you look like, playing behind a Brad Radke and a Santana, is they take all the pressure off the defense because they're going to go into pump strikes, and if you make an error, they're not going to. They have the ability to get out of that, mm-hmm. And so if you're playing to a point where like, gosh, if I make a mistake here, we can lose this game because I don't know if we're going to be able to get out of it. Well, all of a sudden, you play the game you're not playing the game to win; you're playing it not to lose.
Yep.
And so when you play a game not to lose, those are tough games to win.
Those are tough games to win. That mindset is completely different. You have coached a lot since you left the game, and your current endeavor is high school baseball, coaching at Providence Academy. Is that the same as similar to the youth teams you coached, or is it different when you coach at a high school?
High school is different because now you have young men, and you can have a conversation with them about certain aspects of it. I love coaching high school baseball and high school sports because you have the ability to make impacts on these young men and women's lives. And what was really cool for me is that, you have a conversation, and at the end of the day, if you're straight up with the guys and tell them, okay, here's what I see. Not everybody gets to play. We only have 9 guys out there, but I'll give everybody a chance. And you know what? If you perform, you can play. And so I really enjoy playing high school baseball, but at the end of the day, baseball is baseball. You got to hit the ball, catch the ball, and throw the ball.
For sure. And you mentioned that counsel the kids through it along the way. I was having this conversation with a guy the other day, and we all know everybody wants to hit 400 and all those things, and sometimes you get in the mindset of I got to get 3 hits and 1 at bat and all those. How do you counsel kids? How do you get them so it's just pitch by pitch, at bat by at bat?
Well, my way has always been, you know, focus on the process. Quality at bats lead to, you know, quality swings, and if you, the more quality swings you take, the better chance you have to get a base hit. And so if you're focused on quality at bats and mindset of, you know, basically, you know, take, you know, have a couple good swings every at bat. You want to have quality swings, and it seems to take the pressure off of the situations, because, you know, one of the things that I hate when, you know, when people yell, hey, you know what, you know, you got ducks on the pond, get a hit here. Well, why is your approach different when you have a runner on second and third versus, you know, nobody on? You know, the same approach, you know, take some great swings, and that needs to be your focus.
You know, do you wish sometimes, and obviously baseball is a statistics-driven industry, but at least at the youth levels, sometimes I think, God, I hope they don't ever post the statistics and they just focus on hard-hit balls, that they, if you hit the ball hard, you get your credit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the thing with it, you I wish they would expand, especially in youth sports, the statistics column versus kind of putting the character component of it. And, you know, that's kind of a tool that I've been working on.
Yeah.
Is building this app. And the app I built is called Be a Pro 2. Respect the game and be a pro 2. And it's players, rules, opponents, and officials. And basically what that app does, it's for officials to measure the rate the behavior of the coaches, fans, and players after every youth event. And you know what? We're doing it right now with the MBT MBL leagues, and so we have 700 teams that kind of sign up and kind of going through the process. And you know what? Credits to MBT and MBL. You know, they jumped on this because they saw the issue in youth sports, in amateur sports, about how poorly the officials are being treated. And how poorly, and they wanted to do something about it. And so, you know, they have our app in play now. And here's the thing that's really concerning, Maxie, is that 10% of reported games, there's official abuse.
That high?
That high. And we're still training officials. Because even the ones that aren't reported, you know, I'm seeing games that they should be reported, and the officials are like, no, that's just how it goes. I'm like, no, it's not how it goes. That's just not acceptable behavior. Like, everybody's, you know, we don't need a grown man screaming at a 14-year-old child who's trying to ump a 10-year-old game.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of that just very inappropriate behavior.
So what you're kind of doing is you're flipping the cards here, or you're flipping the switch. And we get used to evaluating. You hear about umpire evaluations, referee evaluations. You're taking it inside out and saying we're going to have the umpires and the officials evaluate the teams
based on behavior, because at the end of
based
the
day, on behavior, not based on skill level or anything like that, right?
Yep. And my vision is that all of a sudden we have a different call. We've extended the win loss column to now we're going to add a character column. And so we're going to have win-loss character. And so, and you know what? It all goes into my database, and we're going to be recording, like, Wayzata Baseball will have a Be a Pro 2 score. Minnetonka will have a Be a Pro 2 score. And so we'll have a score of all the organizations, and we can tie it down and say, hey, how's a 15 AAA team doing? What's their Be a Pro 2 score? And basically how, you know, how umps and officials are rating these guys' behavior.
That's pretty interesting, because at the end of the year, and you assume they'll have a lot of different umpires and whatnot, so it'll be a lot of different looks, and there should be some consistency and some patterns to teams in the way they behave, huh?
Absolutely, because a coach that is a tool is not just a tool at their home field. You elevate the scenarios that typically there is. He's a tool all over the place. But the thing with it is, typically these type of coaches are very excited, very passionate people. So the goal of my product that I built here is that we can start celebrating the good behavior and showing them, hey, you know what? You were awesome here. Thank you for doing that. And basically we want to see more of that. So we're going to catch, you know, a majority of the people, like in that 10% of bad, well, there's 90% good. So if we catch the people doing good and we celebrate and we recognize that, you know, the hope and the plan is that we're going to see more good.
So maybe an umpire, for example, while he's working a game, sees a coach, take the kid out of the game that had a bad outing, and you see him sitting there with him and encouraging him and whatnot. He may give him a go, boy, that's the sign of a good coach. You start to play for that. You start to be incentivized by that.
Yep, and that's absolutely right. And we got to recognize, because there's two types of people in youth sports, and actually all sports, and actually in the world. There's healthy people and there's toxic people. And right now, the toxic voices control the youth sports environment. The Be a Pro 2 app is a tool to give the healthy voices a louder voice, because we want to celebrate the goodness in a lot of the stuff, because like I said, it's 90% good and the 10% take up 95% of our time. So how do we minimize the toxic voice and give a platform for a healthy voice?
Do you think it's always a reflection of the coach, or can a coach be just given a bad hand of travel team participants and players? You know what I'm saying?
Well, Maxie, I've coached 114 teams since I retired. And so you take 114 times that by 15, you can do the math of how many kids I've coached. And I would say I've had one kid out of all those kids that I would consider be an uncoachable kid. And this kid had some behavioral issues, and he was dealing with a lot more than, outside.
Sure.
Of with from an environmental standpoint, there's this other stuff going on with this kid.
Yep.
From mentally, he had some stuff going on, and so that's one kid out of all those kids. And so I don't buy the you've been dealt a bad hand. These kids want to learn, and the kids are a lot more coachable than the parents. You might be getting dealt a bad hand with a group of parents. But typically, the kids are pretty darn good.
Do you find that players, let's say from junior high on up, after they've kind of figured out what it's about, or at least they're seeing a fastball and a curveball, if nothing less, do you find that the players that are the best players / teammates are the ones that, if they fail when they drive home, they're bothered by it quite a bit? Or is it the ones that blow it off real quickly and they're onto something, they're fishing or they're playing a video game right away?
Well, it's my belief that it's their what motivates them. Are they internally motivated or are they externally motivated? When I say externally motivated, are they motivated for the accolades, for somebody telling how great they are, for a parent saying, hey, you're so great, or something like that, versus the kids who are eternally motivated, who are focused on process and say, hey, you know what? No matter what happens, I'm going to get better. So an 0 for 3 day with 3 strikeouts gives me the opportunity to get better for the next day. And so I would say that the kids, the best kids, are the internally motivated kids, are there for the process of versus just focusing 100% on the results.
And obviously, it does take a lot of pressure off if you focus on the process, because then your measuring tools are much more encouraging generally, and you have more control over the situation because you're focusing on doing your best as opposed to the final results. And yet we are so, a base hit, one that falls versus the second baseman making a diving catch on it. There's such a fine line between 1 for 3, which is great, and 0 for 3. Can you teach them that? Can you teach them that a line drive that makes you 0 for 3 is still good? Do you think that personality, that's DNA?
Well, absolutely. I think you can teach it, because you talk about controlling the controllables, effort, attitude, and actions. So what you measure gets done. And so what are you going to celebrate? Are you going to celebrate the kid that's 3 for 3 with three bleeding base hits who took and two of his at-bats were terrible at-bats and he was swinging out of his...
That's why baseball drives us nuts, right?
Yeah. Versus quality at-bats and celebrating that internally in your post meetings, in your emails to the parents, and talking about the quality of bats, and this kid was 3 for 3 with hard hit balls. That's what we're going for. You hit the ball hard, and then then it's out of your hands. your job is to hit the ball hard.
I'm going to tell you something, though, CK. The last thing, and baseball does this to us, because we hear this all the time. If you're just successful 3 out of 10 times, they'll pay you millions of dollars. What they're saying when they say that is the only measure of success is if you get a hit. Not if you walk, not if you move the runner over, not if you hit a sac fly, not if you have a good hit and run it bad, even if it gets that you still do something and drive in a run, or maybe you go deep into a count and that allows the guy on deck to see more pitches, etc. This baseball does it to itself by saying 3 out of 10 is the magic number. You can have 8 out of 10 quality at bats, right?
Well, but you know, the person who says that is typically the uneducated person that doesn't really understand the game of baseball. You know, the guys who understand the game of baseball, when people are putting together quality at bats and are focused on that stuff, get it, because baseball is a sport that'll eat you alive. And if you focus if you continue to focus on the results, and you have the pressure of everybody trying to, based off a performance, it's going to eat you up and spit you out.
And discourage you to the point that you will never play on the high school team because you'll be so discouraged by it, right?
Absolutely.
All right, Corey, we got to go. We're out of time. Always appreciate it. Hope we can do it again soon.
All right, thanks, Mackie.
You bet. Corey Koski.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.